from Jakarta. Here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Comprehensive data needed to relax PSBB. WTR forecasts significant drop in traffic volume before Idul Fitri. Now the news in details. The Indonesian government needs comprehensive data from all parties to relax large-scale social restrictions PSBB imposed in several parts of the country to stem the spread of COVID-19, a government spokesperson said. The government spokesperson for COVID-19 handling, Ahmad Yuryanto, said at a press conference on Wednesday in Jakarta that the government is in the process of formulating it. The government is still sticking to the health protocol and PSBB. In addition, it is continuing to conduct mass and massive tests, trace people believed to have come in close contact with COVID-19 patients, and isolate and treat COVID-19 patients. He said the government is still conducting various studies and mulling several scenarios that will surely be developed and implemented. The studies are being conducted since problems in each district or provinces differ from one another and all relevant sides need to study the data. He appealed to the public not to misconstrue the policy because if the relaxation of PSBB is not measurable, new cases of COVID-19 transmission will be found. Indonesia's toll road operator PT Waskita Toll Road WTR has projected a major decline in toll road traffic volume under its management ahead of Idul Fitri. WTR Corporate Secretary Alex Sibu noted in a statement on Thursday that traffic volume is projected to decline by 80% on the Jakarta Toll Road and drop by 60% on the Trans-Java Toll Road as compared to the volume before the implementation of large-scale social restriction. The decline is also attributable to the government's ban on mudik or the annual exodus to stem the transmission of COVID-19. WTR, a subsidiary of state-owned construction company PT Waskita Karya, has established a task force that will work in coordination with the police and transportation ministry to ensure the smooth flow of traffic on toll roads and provide roadside assistance. The task force will also ensure that the toll roads are in good condition. Facilities at rest areas such as mosques, toilets, gas stations and food station will remain open to the public with the health protocol in place to contain COVID-19 transmission. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. As many as 1,970 Indonesians working for several cruise ships in Germany have returned to Indonesia over the past few weeks, according to the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin. A total of 242 Indonesian crew members of the Main Shift 3, Main Shift 4, and Main Shift 5, and Main Shift 6 cruise ships left for the Ngurah Rai International Airport Bali on Wednesday, German time. They landed at the resort island on Thursday, the embassy revealed in a press statement as quoted by Antara. The Indonesian ambassador to Germany, Arif Hafaz Ogroseno, said, "This is the last repatriation. All of them have tested negative for COVID-19. The Indonesian sailors boarded a charter flight of TUI Flies TB8333 which took off from the Hamburg International Airport at 6 p.m. local time on Wednesday. As of May 19, 2020, the Indonesian government has facilitated the return of 99,543 Indonesian citizens from abroad. Majority of them are Indonesian migrant workers working in Malaysia and Indonesian sailors employed with foreign cruise ships. Member economies of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, APEC, have been advised in a new policy brief to adopt an open trade policy to safeguard food security in the region amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The brief has been drafted by the APEC Policy Support Unit, according to a press release issued by the unit, which was received on Thursday. As quoted by Antara, the recent policy brief on export restrictions and food security in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic shows that the variety of movement restrictions implemented across borders have affected the supply of food, especially perishables such as fruits, vegetables, dairy, seafood, and meat. Carlos Kuriyama, senior analyst with the APEC Policy Support Unit, said some governments have reacted to episodes of panic buying by implementing export bans or restrictions on certain food products, hoping to secure the availability of food. Kuriyama, who is the author of the policy brief, explained that those measures, bans and restrictions on food trade, could threaten food security and increase food prices, which will be detrimental to citizens, especially the poorest household. The APEC region's food security environment is in better shape today compared to the global food crisis in 2007-2008. China is proposing to introduce a new security law in Hong Kong that could ban seditions, secession, and subversion. The move is likely to provoke strong opposition internationally and in Hong Kong, which was last year rocked by months of pro-democracy protests. China's delayed National People's Congress, its legislature, will debate the issue when it opens on Friday. Chinese media said the move defended national security, but opponents said it could be the end of Hong Kong. Demonstrators in Hong Kong have repeatedly protested against what they see as a gradual erosion of the territorial autonomy by the communist lead government in Beijing. The last British governor of Hong Kong, Chris Patent, called the move a comprehensive assault on the city autonomy. President Donald Trump said the U.S. would react strongly if China followed through with its proposals. The U.S. has announced it will withdraw from a major accord that permits unarmed aerial surveillance flights over dozens of participating countries. The Open Skies Treaty came into force in 2002 and is designed to boost confidence and assure against attacks. But senior U.S. officials said the country was withdrawing due to the repeated Russian violations of its terms. U.S. President Donald Trump later said there was a very good chance that they will reach a new agreement with Russia. The U.S. will formally withdraw from the accord in 6 months. One official told Reuters news agency that during the course of this review, it has become abundantly clear that it is no longer in America's interest to remain a party to the Open Sky Treaty. Some 35 nations are party to the treaty, including Russia, Canada, and the UK. Washing our hands at least 6 to 10 times a day makes catching infections such as coronavirus much less likely, a study by UK researchers suggests. It looked at data from 2006 to 2009 on viruses structurally very similar to the deadly pandemic strain circulating now. Coronavirus are a family of virus that most usually cause mild illness such as the common cold. And all of them, including the pandemic one, can be killed by soap and water. Each winter, the Medical Research Council asks peoples in England whether they have flu-like respiratory symptoms and test those who do for common cold coronavirus infection. And the study, published in Wellcome Open Research and awaiting peer review, found that 1,663 participants were much less likely to be infected if they washed their hands at least 6 times a day. Study authors Dr. Sarah Beale from University College London said, "Good hand hygiene should be practiced at all times, regardless of whether you show symptoms or not." A Public Health England official said, "Regular hand washing for at least 20 seconds is one of the best ways to stop the spread of coronavirus, particularly after you blow your nose, sneeze or cough, as well as before eating or cooking. Listener, that was the news. I'm Niku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
The beginning of May 2020 is actually the initial phase of recovery from COVID-19 for several European countries. Italy, Germany, and even Spain have begun to open lockdown gradually. It seems that the corona storm has begun to be considered subsided in these countries, but not so in America. Data from Johns Hopkins Hospital states that the death toll from COVID-19 is still quite high, more than 60,000 people as of early May, and it looks like it will continue to grow. Seeing the number of victims, which is difficult to control, President Donald Trump has long been troubled, especially because China released the death toll in the last pandemic in Wuhan, only around 3,000 people, much smaller than COVID-19 victims in America. In a press conference in mid-April, Trump said that America would conduct an in-depth study of the distribution of the COVID-19 virus and the horrific results it caused. Later, Trump even claimed to have proof of where the COVID-19 virus originated. Several theories have emerged. American media reported that the virus leaked from the Wuhan Virology Institute to a nearby animal market. It is said that the virus was produced not for mass weapons, but to show that China is far better and advanced in handling the virus. But so far, Trump has not been able to provide strong evidence of his claim. Another theory emerged and stated that actually America has long been producing this virus. Since 2015, Gates has reminded the world that there will be an epidemic that will be fall, and Microsoft is now preparing a new corona antivirus serum. Whatever it is, so far everything is only a conspiracy theory and has not been proven true. Only time will give the answer. And listener, that was commentary.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. 5. Medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start with a history on May 22, 1960. An earthquake shook Valdivia, Chile, and caused a tsunami that reached 10,000 kilometers from the epicenter. The Valdivia earthquake on May 22, 1960 was the strongest earthquake ever, reaching 9.5 magnitude. The earthquake occurred during the day and caused tsunamis that hit southern Chile, Hawaii, Japan, the Philippines, eastern New Zealand, southeast Australia, and the Aleut Islands in Alaska. This earthquake epicenter is located near Kennett, about 900 kilometers south of Santiago. Next history, on May 22, 1980, U.S. began its embargo against Iran. The first United States sanctions against Iran imposed on May 22, 1980 as an economic embargo. The victory of the Islamic Revolution, which led to the overthrow of the U.S.-backed Shah Pahlavi government, made it was impossible for America to continue its imperialism in Iran. For this reason, America launched the embargo and also provoking Iraq to invade Iran. However, Imam Khomeini called Iranians never be afraid of this embargo. We end with a history which occurred on May 22, 1990, Yemen be united. On May 22, 1990, the Republic of Yemen was declared a unification of the Yemeni Arab Republic and the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen. The former president of the Arab Republic of Yemen, Ali Abdullah Saleh, was appointed again as president, while the former president of the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen, Ali Salim al-Bid, was appointed as vice president. In the 19th century, northern Yemen was ruled by the Ottoman Empire, while south Yemen was occupied by England. After independence from colonialism, each region established a separate state. North Yemen became the Arab Republic of Yemen, while southern Yemen, controlled by the Marxists, established the country of the Democratic People's Republic of Yemen. Since 1972, the governments of the two countries have begun to discuss the possibility of reuniting the country of Yemen, but only realized 18 years later, on May 22, 1990. That was Today in History.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I am Sajjad Haider Khan, Shahzadi Affairs at Pakistan Embassy in Jakarta. I wish to convey my heartiest greetings and best wishes to all Muslim brothers and sisters in Indonesia and Pakistan for a very happy Eid al-Fitri. The last few months have been very challenging for us all due to the COVID-19 pandemic. May Allah bless us all and keep us safe, healthy and happy. Ameen, summa ameen.
Di saat sudah ada dia, memberi senyuman di hari harimu. Bukan salahku cinta hadir tak menentu.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Indonesian government allocates 641 trillion rupiah for economic recovery. The government has allocated 641.17 trillion rupiah for national economic recovery amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The program is designed to drive both the demand and supply. The Indonesian Minister of Finance, Sri Mulyani, in an online press conference in Jakarta on Monday, May 18, said, in terms of consumption, the steps taken by the government are to provide subsidies or social assistance, especially to the poor and vulnerable people more largely. The support is provided, among others, through the Family Hope Program, employment card, and electricity tariff discounts. Minister Sri Mulyani said that the government have extended the distribution of subsidies and social assistance for an additional 3 months for electricity subsidies and an extension to the end of the year for cash assistance and social assistance for non-Jakarta and its surrounding municipalities Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bekasi or Jabodetabek and Jabodetabek areas. Minister Sri Mulyani acknowledged this support would not necessarily substitute for a significant slowdown in household consumption growth in the first quarter of 2020. However, it could at least prevent a decline in consumption. Minister Sri Mulyani added that the government also designing a revitalization of consumption if social restrictions is relaxed later, as the outbreak of COVID-19 was able to be controlled. The minister asserted, if these conditions have been met, the government will provide stimulus in the form of consumption, especially aimed at the tourism sector. It will start designing with the relevant ministries. The first focus is aimed to micro, small and medium enterprises in the form of inter-subsidies, deferment of principal repayments and income tax incentives. In principle, business interventions is aimed to business players to survive so that they can take advantage of incentives when the economy recovers gradually. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Merakit mimpimu, melesatlah seperti
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I would like to introduce you Tompokan tradition in Jember, East Java. Listener, welcoming Idul Fitri. There are various typical traditions conducted by Indonesian people. For example, the tradition which is carried out by villagers in Sucol Krajan, Mumbul Sari Sub-District, Jember Regency, East Java. One day or 2 days before Idul Fitri, the people usually hold Tompoan tradition every year. In this tradition, they slaughter cows. The cows they bought by collecting money several months before, even a year before. In the local traditional language, Tompoan means a pile. In another meaning, by joining the Tompoan tradition, the people get pile consists of meat, bones and beef in ours. With this tradition, the people can enjoy meat in Idul Fitri or Lebaran, remembering the price of meat is quite expensive at the day. During Idul Fitri, villagers are usually visiting each other from home to home. They usually also bring food when visiting relatives. The Sucol Krajan village community also knows the Atar-Atar tradition. In the Atar-Atar tradition, young people bring some foods to older people. The foods are mostly made from beef. That was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about Tompokan tradition in Jember, East Java. We will meet again in another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
My name is Petar Andonov. I'm ambassador of Bulgaria to Indonesia. On the occasion of the Idul Fitri, I would like to offer to all Muslims in Indonesia and abroad my warmest greetings and hereby convey my best wishes for health, well-being and prosperity. Approximately 10% of the population in Bulgaria are Muslims, also celebrating Idul Fitri. In the festive month of Ramadan, which is a symbol of spiritual growth and time for humility and compassion, I wish to express my most sincere hopes for peace and tolerance and to appeal for trust, unity, cooperation and solidarity to overcome the current challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic. I firmly believe that after we defeat this challenge with our joint efforts, we will continue to strengthen the long-standing friendly relations between Bulgaria and Indonesia and to cooperate in areas of mutual interest for the good of our peoples and for the sake of the world peace and security.
kecewa melandamu. Ku ingin hilang sebentar saja, tapi ku tak bisa lakukan itu. Aku tertahan rasa sayang. Maafkanlah ku lupa diri. Hanya kamu yang buat aku luluh selamanya begitu. Takkan pernah ada jenuh karena hatimu milikku. Aku tertahan rasa sayang. Maafkanlah ku lupa diri. Hanya kamu yang buat aku luluh selamanya begitu. Takkan pernah milikku.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about ITV, One Asia Pacific Regional winner for Schneider Electric 2020. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Two ITB students from the 2016 Chemical Engineering Study Program, Felicia Shelley and Vincent Octavian Kaulika, who joined the STADA team, won first place at the 2020 Schneider Go Green Asia Pacific Winner held in April. The event was held online because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The STADA team won the championship with the idea of buildings of the future, which is creating a system that is able to reduce food waste while changing the remaining food waste into energy by means of anaerobic digestion. The energy can then be used for daily needs, so that it is more sustainable and self-sufficient. The team uses digital transformation to make it easier for users in a bid to audit previously neglected food waste, and many people don't know how to start reducing the food waste. STADA system is a system that helps users reduce food waste and convert the rest into energy by studying food waste income pattern from restaurants or hotels, buildings, and compiling algorithms with hardware supporting system. This audit is useful to show which side of the food waste can still be reduced. Also provide suggestions on how users can reduce the food waste. By becoming champions of the Asia-Pacific level, Felicia and Vincent have the rights to advance to the global level, which will initially be held in Las Vegas, United States, on 3rd until 4th June 2020. However, it is adjusted due to the condition of this pandemic until and undetermined time. The annual competition organized by Schneider Electric carries the theme Energy Management and Energy Efficiency with four main categories, including sustainable and access to energy, buildings of the future, plans of the future, and grids of the future. That was Miss Lani for today. Thanks for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am Muhammad Azad, Ambassador of the Islamic Republic of Iran to Indonesia. On this auspicious occasion, I wish all Muslims of Indonesia and across the world a happy Eid al-Fitr 1441 Hijriah. May this divine festive purify our spirituality, bring joy and happiness to us all. Salamat Hari Raya Eid al-Fitr 1441 Hijriah. Mohon maaf lahir dan batin.
persen. Kurang satu persen. Kurang satu persen.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's segment is a music corner presenting a song from Jakarta entitled Roti Gambang, to be sung by Benjamin Sueb. The song tells about typical food of Jakarta and Semarang. Betawi people call it delicious bread of heritage received of the Dutch colonial with the name Roti Gambang, while in Semarang it is known with the name Roti Ganjel Rel. Roti Gambang is included as the best bread by CNN.com version. The bread has a form of square and brown color, which is sprinkled with sesame and a little bit hard texture. The combination of palm and cinnamon give sweet taste and also special aroma on the bread. Because of its solid texture, the gambang bread makes people who eat it feel full. The bread always becomes the favorite one of Semarang people when celebrating Duk Deran in the tradition towards the month of Ramadan. In the Duk Deran event, it is waited by thousands of people who are willing to queue in order to get the gambang bread. The bread is believed to be able to strengthen body when fasting. Gambang bread inspired Benjamin Sueb to compose a story into rhythm of Jakarta's typical gambang kromong. Listeners, here is Benjamin Sueb with the song entitled Roti Gambang.
Bread.
Abang tukang roti.
Sayenye.
Sini aye beli. Roti tawar satu. Ambilin yang baru. Jangan yang kemarin, Bang.
Saya enggak curang. Nyonye boleh pegang. Jangan beli, anget gak?
Tukerin yang lainnya. Ini item atasnya.
Item cuman tampangnya, tapi putih dalamnya, legitnya.
Abang keterlaluan, areng disuruh makan.
Kalau nyonya suka, roti gambang.
Emangnya ayah disuruh main gambang, Bang?
Bukan, biasanya suka nyanyi gambang, nyonya.
Ah, masa iye?
Jangan gak ngakunya. Tampangnya, tapi putih dalamnya, yahutnya.
Abang keterlaluan, areng disuruh makan.
Kalau nyonya suka, pilih roti gambang.
Kalau nggak salah, ayah pernah ketemu si abang di mana ya?
Di mana ya?
Oh, kita pernah ngegambang berdua. Oh, Benjamin. Min, mau jadi tukang roti sekarang.
Nasi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Telah ku coba.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. And Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia. or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.